Hello and welcome back to another episode of the HRER podcast, where we delve into the world of HR emergencies and scandals. Don't forget to follow and subscribe to HRER on your favourite podcast platform.
Get ready for scandalous stories, lessons learned, and a generous dose of advice for HR professionals for navigating the HR landscape.
Our goal here is not just to entertain, but also to help you learn from the topics we touch on in order to save your business from its own emergency.
Matt has been in my office in tears this morning, and it transpires him and Ben have been having an extramarital affair.
He showed me some of the letters. They are sexually graphic, and in my view, show someone who is in the midst of some sort of breakdown. What on earth do we do?
So the behaviour was becoming quite serious, quite erratic. And like I say, the letters were a cause for concern, not only because they were graphic, but they also detailed graphically the things that they had done. You know, if you've got a lot going on in your life, sometimes work can feel a bit much.
Yeah.
But then when you're dealing with something like stalking, you know, there's the fear of almost leaving your house. Are they going to be waiting outside? Because work's something you go to regularly.
Welcome back, everyone, to the HRER podcast, episode 11.
11. Double figures.
11 is, actually, you don't know this, it's my lucky number.
Why is 11 your lucky number, Ollie?
Because when I was 11 years old, mm-hmm. I made my seven-a-side football debut. I wore number 11. And I scored. And ever since then, I've been like, I'm just going to wear number 11.
It's a very sweet anecdote. I feel like I know you that little bit better now.
Yeah, there we go. That's what this is all about, isn't it?
Back to the podcast.
Back on topic, yeah.
It's not like us to drift off topic,
no,
is it?
Not at all. A little niche intro. I might start with little fun facts about myself and yourself, but as we move forward, we'll discuss that off air.
Fun fact about Alyssa. Alyssa T's not going to ride. We're not going to do that. FYI, Dawn.
We really campaigned for that as well. It's a shame, isn't it? Episode 11, anyway. Today's title, Should Relationships Be Allowed at Work? A Work Affair Turned Into Stalking, which is very relevant.
It's very relevant. So we've already had on our socials a bit of baby reindeering going on. And again, when we're talking about baby reindeering, we are talking about stalking, not the other dark themes that are within the Netflix series. So just again, as a kind of disclaimer, it's stalking that we're talking about when we talk about baby reindeering. But I'm going to make baby reindeering happen as a term in itself, I think.
As a verb? It's a doing word, isn't it?
Yeah.
Verb. Baby reindeering, yeah. English degree. I've not read through this, so I'm going to read through it and you're all going to get a genuine reaction from me. So without further ado, Hi Alyssa, well, everything seems like it is a bit of a mess here today. Hoping you can help, but just not sure how we go about untangling this one. We have two employees, Matt and Ben. Matt is one of our senior care assistants and Ben is a nurse. They both work with our dementia residents. Matt has been in my office in tears this morning, and it transpires him and Ben have been having an extramarital affair together.
Together.
Together. Okay. The affair has been uncovered because a member of staff caught them in the storeroom and told Ben's what. So Ben's got a wife.
Yes.
Right. As a result, Ben has broken off the affair, has stated that he regrets his actions, believes he was simply confused, and doesn't want a relationship with another man, and is trying to make things work with his wife. Matt only told me because he was worried the same staff member was going to grass them up. Mm-hmm. He was very upset the affair has finished. Stay with me. It gets worse. It gets worse.
Gets worse.
Cheese. I then had Ben in the office. He wants Matt suspended. He admitted to having the affair. However, he said it was brief and a mistake that he ended it some weeks ago. However, since then, Matt has failed to accept his decision and has been bombarding him with love letters,
baby reindeer,
trying to change his shift to be on shift with him and making heavy breathing phone calls. Is that true?
Yes.
That's true.
It's true, yeah.
Sorry, last sentence. He showed me some of the letters. They are sexually graphic and, in my view, show someone who is in the midst of some sort of breakdown. What on earth do we do?
So, again, real situation. This really did happen. So we had... to summarise, two people working within the same care home, two men mm-hmm. who started an extramarital affair. Actually, both of them were married to women.
Okay.
One left his wife and decided, you know,
I want this.
This is what I want. This is my preference going forward, which is absolutely fine, but just, you know, don't cheat on your wife. Leave her first.
Yeah, absolutely.
The second one decided, no, this is a huge mistake, going back to my wife. and no, this is not my preference anymore.
That could have gone any worse.
No, so the one who left his wife then was the one who has started the stalking behaviour, the hippie breathing down the floor. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what he was trying to achieve by doing that.
I've seen lots of horror films where, like, the murderers do that.
Yeah.
Like, they ring and they're like, oh.
Yeah.
It's down the phone.
It's very, very bizarre. And actually, the individual who was receiving them.
That's crazy.
Him and his wife were getting them, were recording them. And he wasn't, like, hiding his phone number or anything. It was very obvious who was calling. Yeah. And they'd be like, I know it's you. I know you're there. It can't be a pocket dial. But the wife was getting them as well. So the behaviour was becoming quite serious, quite erratic. And like I say, the letters were a cause for concern, not only because they were graphic, but they also detailed graphically the things that they had done.
Were they handwritten?
In the workplace. Yes, handwritten.
That's somewhat sweet, isn't it, I suppose?
So yeah, the events that had gone on in store cupboards, in patients' rooms, varying parts of the premises were detailed graphically in these letters.
Oh, crikey. This is not on the list at all. Have you seen any of the letters?
Yes.
Yes?
Ultimately, they were used as evidence in a disciplinary proceeding because whilst we're going to come on to all of this, relationships in the workplace aren't illegal. Undertaking sexual activity in the workplace on work time is usually against company rules. It's certainly not something that's advocated.
I can't imagine any companies promoting it.
No. And certainly not in a care home.
No. I can think of better places to do it, like than in a care home. Better job occupations, got to be careful what I say here.
Yeah.
But better occupations than that? Disrespectful,
so it's disrespectful. And this one actually got murkier. So they were caught by another staff member.
Walked in on them
in a store cupboard. And which is how it all came out, because they were worried that they were going to get reported. So one of the individuals was like, look, you know, I'm going to get out in front of this. As the investigation progressed, it turned out that they had actually been seen by a patient. And they brushed it off. So when this patient started saying that they'd seen something happen, saying, oh, this person's got dementia. Which is just, like, in terms of things like dignity, you know, these people are supposed to be looking after these people's welfare.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically said, no, they can't be believed because
proper breach of trust, isn't it? Jesus,
it's really bad. So this was a really, really bad situation. And yeah, like I say, we'll unpick it as we go through.
It's nothing you're not used to, though, is
nothing
it?
Nothing I'm not used to. No, it's just a Wednesday.
That's all it is.
That's all it is.
Let's start the expert analysis, shall we, with employer questions. So, are workplace affairs considered inappropriate conduct, potentially leading to dismissal for those involved? So without giving anything away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Potentially, yes. So, I'm not going to say it's something that's super common, but also it's not rare. You know, it happens. People work very closely together and things happen. You know, it used to be before the Tinder, Bumble, Hinge, whatever. I'm sure you can illustrate me with a much longer list of apps than
what
that. Not suggesting. But I'm sure you can provide me with a much longer list of these apps. Before they were prevalent, so back in the day when I was dating, you would meet people in the pub or at work. You know, it was a legitimate place to meet somebody. Whereas now, obviously, the predominant way that people meet is online and on dating apps. So meeting someone at work isn't necessarily something that's immediately cause for disciplinary action.
No.
Where you've got an extramarital affair, now these things do tend to become messy. Where partners find out, that can sometimes spill over into the workplace. So I have, not this instance, but another client where a wife turned up to work, tires were slashed, a window was broken, another woman was attacked.
Oh no.
Wrong woman, wasn't actually the woman he'd had an affair with. So where it spills over into the workplace, then yes, you know, you're going to be looking at disciplinary allegations. Where you've got two people at work, particularly where there's an imbalance in power, again, the senior person in that situation could come under some heat, particularly where there's potentially allegations of favoritism, nepotism, where, you know, someone is getting favorable treatment or being promoted or getting bonuses or, you know, allowed to leave early because they're having a relationship with somebody. So in those sort of situations, then you could be looking at disciplinary action or potentially somebody being fired.
But the liability lies with the senior person in these situations.
Usually, yes, because if they are the ones who have got the control over handing out the favours, so to speak, then yes, you know, they're abusing their position.
I'm struggling not to, like, grin and laugh and stuff, to be honest. But
I mean, there's going to be a lot of innuendos as we go through this, I suspect. But it's, thankfully, we're not a super highbrow podcast. We can probably get away with it.
Not that known yet.
Not yet.
We will be.
One day.
Question two, from an employer perspective. According to a 2023 poll, 3 in 5 women have experienced harassment at work. What are the dangers of workplace stalking that HR professionals should be aware of?
So, I mean,
3 in 5 is huge.
Doesn't surprise me, to be honest. It's part of the reason why we've got the new duty around sexual harassment, you know, coming out in October of this year,
okay.
Is that it is recognised as a real issue in the workplace. And it's something that we are now more prepared to talk about. And I don't mean we as in we women, I mean, you know, society generally.
Yeah.
That we will talk about these things. We will say it's unacceptable. That it's not okay just to say because someone is from a different time that it's okay to pat your secretary on the bum in the workplace because that might have been okay in the 70s. It never should have been okay in the 70s. No. It was just tolerated. So I think the numbers seem high because we're talking about it more. I don't think there's more of it
happening.
There's
more of a light on the problem, you think?
Exactly.
Okay.
I think sexual harassment in the workplace and stalking, probably two very different issues.
Yeah.
I think just because somebody's either been sexually harassed or they're in a workplace relationship, again, those two being two distinct things, doesn't necessarily mean that stalking is going to happen. Where I have seen it is usually where you have got an emotionally injured party or someone whose advances have been rebuffed. So our baby reindeer situation, mm-hmm. Where then that, you know, can cause obsessive behaviour, people who struggle to take no for an answer, or perhaps they've got other health issues going on that kind of, you know, support that behaviour. So I wouldn't say there's a link between the two. But again, I think with the baby reindeer stuff, I think we're probably going to see more of it being talked about and stalking generally being more, you know, commonly discussed. And I think one of the issues that we have legally with stalking is, and we see it in baby reindeer where it's reported to the police and they're a bit like, particularly, you know, when it's a man reporting it.
A man
like,
that a woman's doing it to, yeah, it's hard to take it seriously.
It doesn't seem to be taken that seriously.
No.
And it's almost like the gender reversal. So when women used to report sexual harassment, wouldn't be believed or would be in an environment where they say, oh, you should be flattered, you know, if the boss of the company is showing you this additional attention. Whereas now when we talk about stalking, it's the other way around. If when men report it, say, well, you should be flattered, you know, that a woman's showing you attention.
Yeah.
It's just as bad, just because we've got that gender reversal and that gender bias. No, if someone is being stalked, it's a serious issue.
Only 5% of stalkers get prosecuted.
It's a remarkably low number for what is actually very serious behaviour.
Mm.
And I think we're going to see more of a spotlight on it now because of, you know, the furor that's surrounding baby reindeer.
It's been sensationalised now, hasn't it? Like,
yeah.
It's literally been shown on screens, yeah, around the world. So.
And I think it's something that police should be taking seriously and employers should take it seriously. If you've got someone who reports stalking at work, either by a colleague or from somebody outside of work who perhaps is where that behaviour is spilling over, then an employer should be taking that seriously.
Very seriously, as we've seen on the old Netflix.
Yeah.
Terrible. Third question, from an employer perspective, 50% of victims have curtailed or stopped work due to stalking. In cases of workplace stalking, do HR departments typically intervene, or is it primarily handled by law enforcement?
So in the situation that we are dealing with the scenario that we talk about here, it did actually affect attendance at work. So the aggressor in that situation was suspended. Actually, the person who was being stalked went off sick.
Okay.
It was affecting his life, affecting his marriage. He was feeling that he couldn't concentrate at work. So absolutely, there is definitely that link, I would say. And that, you know, if you've got a lot going on in your life, sometimes work can feel a bit much.
Yeah.
But then when you're dealing with something like stalking, you know, there's the fear of almost leaving your house. Are they going to be waiting outside? Because work's something you go to regularly. So
it's routine,
they know
isn't
where
it?
I work. You know,
yeah,
are they going to be waiting outside? If it's winter and I, you know, finish in the dark, you know, am I going to be physically at risk? So I would say there's definitely a link, or it's more likely that someone's going to go off sick if they are experiencing that sort of behaviour, which is why it's really important as an employer that we take it seriously. Now, in this situation, it wasn't as clear cut as that. So we had, yes, in the stalking scenario, the aggressor and the victim, but actually the victim had undertaken behaviour that was classed as gross misconduct as well.
In line with company policy?
Yeah. So okay. They had engaged in sexual activity in the workplace. Their behaviour towards a resident fell well below standard. in terms of, you know, obviously what we've discussed.
Yeah.
So this one was a complex one because we still had to look after the victim who was being stalked, but there was also some very serious behaviour that had to be dealt with there as well. So the way that we advised on this one was we dealt with the aggressor in terms of the stalking element. We dealt with them and they were removed and ultimately dismissed.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had, obviously, you know, it's quite a difficult thing to do because you've got to support somebody through it, but they were aware they would have been they were facing allegations as well. And then we dealt with that secondly.
Okay. But primarily you're going to sort of, in that situation, you're getting rid of like the biggest risk first, arguably, aren't you? Because that person...
They were a risk to somebody else in the workplace.
Yeah.
So whilst misconduct had occurred... With, I can't remember which way around the names were now, but in terms of the person who was the victim of the stalking, the behaviour that was the cause of the gross misconduct, so the sexual activity in the workplace, it had stopped.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going anywhere. They know what they've done is wrong. They've admitted to it. Well, look, we're going to put a pin in that. We're going to deal with the fact that actually your welfare's at risk at work because you're being stalked.
So did they keep their job?
No, both of them lost
their
jobs.
They both lost their jobs. Kind of spoils the end, doesn't it?
It became untenable, particularly because I'm not even going to hang my hat on this. Had it just been sexual activity in the workplace? The thing is, where it's something this serious, sexual activity in the workplace becomes like the lesser.
Fades, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's fading.
It's like, you know what? No, it's still super, super serious and massively inappropriate because they were caught by a colleague in a position that a colleague should never have had to witness. You know, they saw everything. It's not good. But the fact that they were caught by a resident and they then called them a liar or said it was because they had dementia and that they'd made it up. There's no, for someone who's in a caring capacity, there's no moving past
it's
that.
It's taking advantage of them, isn't it? Really?
It's taking advantage. It's a breach of trust and confidence. You know, I think both of them were actually referred to their varying regulatory bodies in terms of, so when an employer dismisses somebody like a nurse, if they've done something that makes them essentially unfit to be a nurse, there's then referrals that can be made in there. That's
so they can't get placed as a nurse again.
That would be decided by the NMC, so the Nursing and Midwifery Council, who would then look at that situation and hold their own disciplinary proceedings, essentially decide whether or not they keep their registration. So both of these individuals were referred to their regulatory bodies because it was so serious in terms of that dementia patient and that they put themselves in a position where they could be caught.
It's just reckless, isn't it?
Totally reckless.
Amongst a few
and
other things.
Having read the letters... There were lots of outdoor opportunities that they took advantage of. It didn't all just need to happen in the workplace. So they,
amongst
you know,
the dandelions.
Exactly. So, you know, they didn't have, you know, the workplace wasn't their only forum, let's put it that way. You know, there were other opportunities for them to pursue this illicit affair.
It's just mad, isn't it? They were married to women as well.
Yeah.
Last question, as an employer, what policies and procedures should be in place to address workplace relationships? I'm not sure... Address or moderate, would you say?
Good choice of words. So
I'm just throwing options out there.
Yeah, so there are... it's not uncommon to have a relationships at work policy. So there are some employers that will forbid it and go, you know what, it's too much hassle.
That's quite archaic in my head.
Very archaic, potentially a breach of people's private lives. You know, it's to say absolutely no relationships at work, I think, is probably unrealistic. And the chances are then that you are forcing people to do things on the quiet, hide things.
You're encouraging slyness, if anything.
Yeah, and it's more likely then to affect trust and confidence in the workplace. Moderating it, I would say, is probably the right thing to do. So what is quite common is that if a relationship starts, that it's disclosed to HR.
Okay.
So one potential risk that you've got with relationships in the workplace is consent. So actually, is it a relationship or is someone being sexually harassed? Which you would
very
think,
different.
Surely you would know if you're in a relationship. Well, hopefully you would, but believe it or
baby
not. Baby reindeer tells us otherwise, but also when relationships go sour, if they haven't been in a relationship for very long, it's not uncommon for sexual harassment allegations to be made. So to be on the safe side, you start a relationship at work, disclose it to HR. We're in a relationship. You don't need to know the ins and outs, but just so that you're aware, you know, in case people say things about favoritism or people are whispering or gossiping, there is a relationship going on. We don't need to go into any more detail than that. And also, if you're not going to go, you know, have a blanket, you must disclose. What I would say is where there's an imbalance in power or where you've got someone who directly reports to somebody that they're in a relationship with, that really should be disclosed.
Because you mentioned that a few times. Is that like a thing?
Yeah.
It's like there'll be a manager and then he'll get with
a direct report. Say you've got someone who has got 10 direct reports, starts a relationship with one of them, it's invariably going to cause issues and gossip within the direct reports, particularly if someone is seen to receive preferential treatment. So if you've got people arriving at work together or staying late so they can get a lift home together or eating their lunch, obviously they're forming a tighter relationship. Mm-hmm. And it can sometimes mean that that person is first in line for a promotion purely because they've got to know that person better or they're seeing more of their skills and abilities because they're spending more time with them.
Conflict of interest. Is it?
Potentially. So it can mean that someone gets a sideways move into another team or that a company will look at ways of kind of breaking up that line management relationship so that it's not quite so close.
I've seen it where, and she watches this, so she'll know I'm talking about her. I've seen it where my pal and his wife, they had the same job and reported to the same manager, but he was manager and she was given the manager of the team above.
Right.
So the team above handled her one-to-ones and such just to avoid that conflict of interest.
Yeah. And it might be that the people involved in the relationship are entirely appropriate at work.
Mm-hmm. They were, absolutely.
But it's the gossip that goes on elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't say exactly been in this situation, but I met my husband at my RNLI station. He was a helm, I was a crew member. Generally, I would hope, I don't know, some of my crew, if they listen to this, it may say otherwise. I don't think you could tell we were in a relationship.
Okay.
People knew. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a secret. But
aren't you his boss now, though? Is that right?
No. No. Well, it depends. His business. Am I his boss? Maybe. not in an RNLI capacity. But we are professional in the lifeboat station. And if we're out on a call and it's his boat and he's the helm and I'm crewing for him, if he tells me to do something, he doesn't have to ask me twice. It's, you know, and also if I do something wrong, I expect to get a dressing down when I get back in the same way as everybody else.
You go by surnames, don't you, as well?
Yeah.
Just speaking, you call each other each other's surname.
Yeah, he doesn't call me wife when we're out there, put it that way. And it's hard to do. And particularly, you know, there'll be sometimes I'm sat looking at him going, wait till I get home.
You're in trouble.
And you're in so much trouble when we get home. But you keep it out the workplace.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't. Yeah. You know, I would be mortified if any of the crew came on station and heard us having a domestic.
No,
you know,
absolutely
it's
not.
Just, it's not professional. So it doesn't mean it shouldn't happen, but you've got to be very, very clear on where your professional boundaries are and to make sure that you can properly line manage somebody.
Draw the lines, people. Draw the lines. Mm. Moving on to questions to ask as an employee now. Got a fact here, or a statistic, 79% of domestic violence stalkers will use work resources to target the victims. What are my rights as an employee if I feel uncomfortable or unsafe due to the actions of a co-worker?
So by work resources here, I'm guessing it's things like using work phones, you know, things like Slack.
Could be information.
Could be information. So actually they get personal information about them, such as where they live, private phone numbers, things like that.
Oh, gosh.
Report it to HR immediately.
Yeah.
You know, this is serious. It's not something that you sit on and think, oh, when it gets worse or if it carries on for this amount of time. No, if someone has overstepped boundaries at work and they're using work resources to harass you or get information about you, you report it. Mm-hmm. And you put it into the hands of HR and you say, look, I'm feeling grossly uncomfortable and I'm feeling harassed and threatened.
I'd ring police, mate. If someone rang me without me giving them my phone number and was like talking normally.
Or breathing down the phone.
Breathing down the phone. As if either of those are normal behaviour. I'm calling police.
It's
crazy.
So particularly these days, we should be guarding our personal information.
Absolutely, yeah.
And, you know, when we see these big data breaches and people's information gets out there, I think 10 years ago you'd be thinking, well, if somebody wants my stuff off Facebook, so what? But now we see the damage that people can do with personal information in terms of things like, you know, accessing your bank account, your medical records, you know, knowing where you live. People can do you real, real harm with personal information.
Absolutely.
And actually, how difficult is it to change your phone number these days? Like when you've had your number for a certain amount of time, and I had this when I left my last employment, I had to leave my phone number behind. It's the most traumatic part of the entire process.
Big change, isn't it?
It's horrible.
Big change.
So if you're in a situation where you're being stalked and that's taken away from you, I'd be so upset. But yeah, you're right. You know, it, if someone is harassing you and they've taken personal information to do so, you can legitimately tell the police about it. And I think people feel, and I don't know why, that they think, oh, it's not serious enough for the police. It's not, you know, murder, theft, burglary, rape. No, it's really serious if someone is hassling you in that way.
Well, it could be, do you know what I mean? Like, you better catch it early.
Yeah, and it's important that employers take it seriously. So again, back to baby reindeer, the employers made that worse. So again, not to give any spoilers away, who hasn't watched it by now? It's your own fault if I'm spoiling it for you. In the scene in the pub where he is showing his colleagues, I'm assuming one of them is either the owner or, you know, bar manager or whatever, and he's showing them the messages from Martha, and that they send an inappropriate message back. They fuel the fire. They make it so much worse, you know, in the realms of going, oh, it's banter, mate. No, it's not banter, mate. You've made that situation work.
Yeah, not.
And you've, no, it's not. And you've put someone at risk. So if you are an employer and someone comes to you, don't brush it off. That's someone who's got a legitimate concern. And if it's happening with a colleague, you've got the full range of disciplinary processes at your disposal to manage that situation and help make somebody feel safe again.
Take it very seriously.
Yes. Don't send inappropriate messages in the form of banter. It's my pet hate word, banter. It's an excuse for bad behaviour.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rant over.
Rant over.
Question two, as an employee, how can I maintain professionalism and boundaries in the workplace, especially if I find myself in a personal relationship with a coworker?
So we're going to start with the basics.
Mm-hmm.
Don't touch people at work.
No.
Don't do that.
No.
Don't. So colleagues should not have to come in and find you either like cuddling or kissing or anything like that.
We have like knuckle touches every now and again.
Yeah, that's
we?
Fine.
We
yeah. That. Yeah. So we can do that. And, you know, normal professional physical contact.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hug someone who doesn't want to be hugged.
No, no.
Don't kiss people in the workplace. Don't touch them in places that you know, they wouldn't expect to be touched by a colleague.
Don't touch them in the store cupboard.
I don't want to be in that situation where I'm sat with HR and we pull the doll out and you say, where did the person touch you? Show me on the door. We don't want to be doing that. So at the fundamental, basic level, don't touch people at work if they don't want to be touched.
Absolutely.
If you're in a relationship with somebody, equally don't. It makes people uncomfortable. You're
EDA,
in a you're in a professional environment.
Mm.
And particularly if you're a line manager and you're in a relationship with somebody more junior to you, it gives you the ick.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it.
It does.
Real legal term there. Before I go off on another rant. I would also advise, you know, that you disclose it to somebody more senior. So if someone's aware, so that, you know, and I've had this with another client where they saw a line manager smack someone's bum as they went up the stairs, didn't realise there was a relationship going on, and they went and reported it and said that I've seen someone be assaulted at work.
Okay.
And it then came out that this relationship had been ongoing, and the person who reported it was grossly embarrassed. And said, well, had I known...
They're not to know it.
No, I wouldn't have said anything. But at the same time, they've reported their line manager for sexual harassment. So they hadn't done anything wrong. They'd absolutely reported in good faith and it was the right thing to do. But that situation of embarrassment and uncomfortableness could have been avoided, you know, had someone more seen it.
Transparency is important, isn't it?
Yeah, because they could have gone to HR and said, oh, I've seen this. HR said, look, you know, it's none of anybody's business. They shouldn't be doing it in the workplace, but there is a relationship going on.
Okay. Final question as an employee.
Mm-hmm.
What steps should I take if I become aware of inappropriate behaviour between co-workers? You mentioned it there anyway. Mm-hmm. Report it to HR.
You can report it. So if someone, even if someone is in a consensual relationship at work, if they are behaving inappropriately and it makes people feel uncomfortable, it can be reported. You shouldn't have to tolerate seeing people all over each other at work just because they're in a relationship.
In general, like if I'm walking through city centre or something and there's PDA going on,
I mean, don't report that to your employer. They're probably not going to care what you've seen on the bus into work. But
it's just not nice.
Like I said, it gives you the ick. It's like,
it was always, he's going to sound bad. When I was at college, it was always like goths. Do you know what I mean? And they were always like next to me, like they were cold.
Yeah.
But they weren't cold because it was summer.
Right.
They were just near each other, rubbing shoulders. Always near.
Yeah.
There's no need.
I mean, I'm not a very tactile person anyway, so it does kind of creep me out.
I am. Normally, there was a bloke, Michael knew him, a bloke in our old place called Kev. And every time he'd come in, I'd like hug him.
Yeah.
Like chest to chest, like man hug, do you know what I mean? Like, how you doing, mate, sort of thing. And so I'm like that.
Mm.
But there's... As a grown-up now,
I
can understand there's people that aren't.
So, yeah, if you see something that makes you uncomfortable, I mean, look, fist bumping, you're probably overreacting. If you have got two blokes who are doing the whole, you know, post-rugby game, banging each other on the back and chest bumping, you know, fine, whatever. You might just kind of roll your eyes a bit and go,
you did just roll your eyes.
Yeah, I did. Did you hear me roll my eyes? It's audible for anyone who's listening, not watching. You can actually hear my eyes scraping around in my head. If you have got that kind of, you know, macho behaviour going on, then look, it's annoying, but it's
never,
not really.
I've never been described as macho before, thank you.
Was I referring to?
I'm taking it.
You're taking it. But, you know, if there is, I say, PDA, sexual kind of content, behavior going on, you legitimately can report that. So, look, it's making you uncomfortable. Even if you want to be anonymous and just say, look, can someone just have a quiet word, please, and say, you know, keep it in the car park or whatever, you know, wait till you get home. It's perfectly legitimate to report that.
Absolutely. Just to wrap things up, lessons learned. So emergency measures to manage the workplaces, workplace relationships, words, come on. You mentioned like policies and stuff, like relationship policies. Is there anything else aside from that?
So check your policies and make sure they're up to date. They might have been drafted in the 90s. So, you know, where it might well say it is acceptable to pat your secretary on the arse, but do not put your hand up her skirt. It's no longer the 90s. Neither of those is acceptable, believe it or not. For anybody listening, don't touch people in the workplace. So you think I'm over-egging the point? I deal with this a lot.
Yeah. It sounds like it. It's coming across.
So update your policies, make sure people have read them, circulate them. And if something's brought to your attention, have the difficult conversation. It is a difficult conversation. We're very British. We don't like talking about these sorts of things. It makes us get very embarrassed and it gives us the ick. But if you have to have a conversation, if you're HR, make sure you do it promptly.
Okay, cool.
And have it witnessed. I would say it's one of those that you want somebody with you. You don't really want to necessarily have a conversation about sexual conduct in a one-to-one situation. Not because you're at any risk, but if something were to be misinterpreted. So I would say it's one of those that you really want to kind of have informally minuted. Not as a disciplinary meeting, but just to kind of record what was said and where the boundaries have been laid
just
down.
Just make sure.
Yeah.
Lovely. Closing thoughts. You've mentioned way near the start, we kind of spoiled it a bit, that both these chaps lost their jobs.
So one of them for the baby reindeering and for the inappropriate behaviour at work and for the trust and confidence and the degradation of his duties in terms of the dementia patient. Second one, all of the above other than the baby reindeering.
Yeah, writing letters is mad.
Yeah.
Writing letters in this day and age is it's commitment.
Oh,
it's
they were horrible. They were just
I haven't handwritten a letter since school.
There were little hearts coloured and stuff.
Heart on the eye.
No, there were.
Oh, my God. Right, well, that sums up. That's today. That's this episode done, eh? That was a good chat. Very controversial topic is that I can't think of anything we haven't covered. Can you? Have you got anything you want to say?
No, I think, you know, professional boundaries at work. Let's be grown-ups. There's other places to go and have illicit affairs if that's what you're going to do.
Not in cupboards.
Not in cupboards. Not in a care home environment, certainly. And, you know, if you are in a relationship, consensual relationship with somebody at work, disclose it. Don't give people the ick and kind of be all over each other. Professional boundaries.
Which you think would be common sense, but... Apparently not. Yeah.
So I hope we've all learned something. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for all the feedback, the comments that we've had. And if there is anything that you would like us to cover, please don't hesitate to reach out on our website or on our social media at Heroes. It's been another great episode. Thank you very much, Ollie.
Cheers, Lisa. Like, comment, subscribe, and we'll see you next time.
Until next time, we're your hosts signing off from HRER. Take care of your HR and may your workplace be disaster-free. Before we go, a big thank you to you for tuning in and don't forget to subscribe. If you have your own ER stories or suggestions for future episodes, reach out to us at Heroes or on social media or even hrer@heroes.co.uk. As we navigate the maze of workplace blunders, remember that no organisation is perfect. But by sharing these stories, we can all work towards creating healthier, happier and more productive workplaces.